Argument this morning is Doe versus the City of Lafayette. Mr. Falk?
May it please the court. John Doe has a history of sex offenses against children, although he has not offended since at least 1991 and is deemed to be
the detail. Why is he permitted to sue another?
A
registered sex offender?
Yes, sir.
What is the purpose?
The motion was filed with the district court and approved in the district court because not only is he a sex offender, but he was living with an elderly mother, and he was, I think, justifiably concerned that if his name got out, given the facts of this case, that he...
But if you're registered, your name is out, isn't it?
Well, that's correct, Your Honor, but there are more than 100 registered sex offenders in this area, and he is the only one who has been selected by the city to be banned from the parks, and it was felt...
That sounds like an even better reason to publish his name rather than keep it secret.
Well, I think that highlights the problem of what Lafayette has done here, Your Honor, which is that the reason he is banned from the parks is not because he did anything differently than anyone who walked through the park. It's because of his thoughts. And the district court and then this court on second motion approved us to proceed by anonymous name. He is deemed to be a success story by his therapist. He is prone for the rest of his life to have urges and thoughts about having sex with children. But the reason he's deemed to be a success story is that he has learned to control these urges and not give in to them. As I said, he has not offended since at least 1991. In January of...
Why hasn't been caught, you mean?
Well, the record is the trial court found that he has not engaged in any incidents since 1991. In January of 2000, he had thoughts. He had urges. He went to a park in Lafayette where he stood and watched for 15 to 30 minutes, 3 to 4 children. And while he watched them, he thought about having sexual contact with them.
Mr. Falk, would it make a difference to the outcome if the ban order were limited to venues where children are most likely to be present?
No, Your Honor. The problem here is that Lafayette is not acting globally against sex offenders. Lafayette is acting against Mr. Doe because of what he was thinking. If he had gone to that park that day, had the exact same urges, but when he got to the park, he said, well, you know, it's a beautiful day, I'm going to think about baseball, there would not be a ban order. If he had been in that park already, playing basketball legitimately, gone to the same place and had those thoughts, he would
be... But isn't he banned from schools?
Yes, Your Honor. He did not protest that because he did not feel he generally, the public has a legitimate reason to be at school.
Well, I'm really following up on Judge Rotman's question. What's the difference between children in a park, children in school?
Well, there really isn't, Your Honor. But from his own way of thinking and my way of thinking as his attorney, it seemed to me that it does not make sense to argue that he had a right to be in a place where the public is generally not invited. Of course, a park is much different than a school. A park is where we are all invited to wander and loiter. But the reason for this ban is because what he thought when he was standing there. As I said, if he was thinking of something else, there would be no ban. If Lafayette had never learned about his thoughts, there would be...
What if he's standing across the street from the park?
Lafayette, I think, would assert that it had the right. Lafayette is saying that we have the right to ban you from any place where you're proximate to children. I know that in their brief, they said, we're not banning him from staying...
Wasn't the ban, though, instituted by the Parks Department?
It's a ban instituted by the Parks Department, but enforced by the Police Department, Your Honor. And if in fact, Lafayette found out that he was sitting on his front porch, looking across the street at a daycare center...
That's a stretch, because as I read, at least as I understand it, it was the Parks Department concerned about their facilities, and that's where he's banned from.
Well, yes, Your Honor. But the point is, of course, is that Lafayette is asserting that because of what is in your mind and the fact that you are thinking that close to children, we have the right to act against you. Of course, this case only concerns the park, but the point is...
That was my point. If he's across the street, there's no problem. He can have the same thoughts that he would have if he were in the park.
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor, because it's correct in this context because it's not the park, but what they are saying is that if we find out about your thoughts, and if you are making those thoughts, having those thoughts near children, we can ban you.
Their, of course, contention is it's the act of going into the park physically that is the problem.
but he'd act as neutral. If he had gone into the park, if he had had the same thoughts and gone into the park, and as I said, when he got there, said, it's a beautiful day, I'm going to think about baseball, he wouldn't have been banned. If he had been in the park already and gone to that place and had those thoughts, he would be banned. The problem is he had thoughts, and the Supreme Court has been quite clear that the First Amendment protects our freedom to think.
Do you think this is about, if this is about the protection of children, then wouldn't, by parity of reasoning, the city of Lafayette ban him from the downtown area where children shop and so on? There are places, you know, toy stores or...
Of course, and it would ban the other 80 registered child molesters and the uncertain number of other sex offenders in Lafayette.
Well, sex crimes are more likely in a park than in downtown.
Well, there was no finding here, Your Honor. In fact, Mr.
Yeah, but how would you like it if you wouldn't like to have your kids in the park exposed to a person like this?
I'm asking, Your Honor, if I would like to have my kids exposed to people's thoughts. And the truth of the matter is...
You know, you wouldn't like to, if you knew about this person who, and he was, you know, haunting the park, I don't think you'd like to have your kids there.
Well, that might be so, and I think that would apply to any of the sex offenders on the registry. I'd prefer not to have my children in proximity to sex offenders. But the problem here, and what the Supreme Court has asserted most recently in Ashcroft versus Free Speech Coalition, is that you have to separate out thought from action. And what he is being penalized here for here is solely...
Well, he went to the park. He's like a stalker, isn't he? I mean, you wouldn't say stalkers can't be... Stalking can't be made a crime, would you, or would you?
But he's not like a stalker.
Well, there hasn't been any act that he's committed that even comes close to stalking.
There hasn't been any act he committed, Your Honor. He's
I mean, he's stalking. He goes to the park in order to, you know, watch these children. That's stalking, isn't it?
Your Honor,
what if he follows them around? Would you permit that? When they leave the park, he follows them.
Well, Your Honor,
in the public streets and so on. Is that okay?
If we got to the point where he was following them and putting them at fear, and if they were aware of that, that would be stalking. But the problem here is, Your Honor, you say he went to the park for a certain reason. He went to the park, yes. But when he got to the park, all he did was think. And again, I've said it already.
You know, the city seems, forgive me, but the city seems to suggest that Mr. Doe left the park when he saw that it would be too difficult for him to sexually violate children in such an open area. Is that accurate?
What Mr. Doe said in his deposition was that he was thinking of having some kind of sexual contact. He knew it would be difficult to do since a wide open area. Those thoughts were there, but they, you know, weren't realistic at the time. They were just he later testified, I certainly had sexual thoughts. I was not planning to act on my thoughts. I recognize, this was in his affidavit, I recognize these were just unhealthy thoughts. The police report, the only information that Lafayette had before it issued the ban, states only that Mr. Doe had stated he had been to a park and watched children but did not do anything but had urges. This is a case about not doing anything but having urges.
And in terms of those urges, there was no physical manifestation of them.
No, he himself said they were thoughts, and Lafayette has always conceded all he did was stood there and think. And again...
So would you agree then, if he had, in fact, gotten up from the bench and gone over and approached the children or started snapping photographs or taken some other action, then a ban like this would be appropriate? How much... I mean, there's got to be some level of conduct...
Yes.
That could justify what the city did.
In fact, the city routinely bans people from the park who behave for short periods of time, not lifetime bans like Mr. Doe, who behave in annoying ways to other patrons.
But what if it's just he's sitting there, he has a zoom lens on his camera, and he's sitting there in the bench taking photographs of the children. Is that enough for you?
Your Honor, I think at that point we probably would convert this into a procedural due process case and have a hearing and see what the city was thinking. But here the city wasn't saying he committed any action. The city concedes he did nothing,
but he was present. No, of course, he went to the park. That's his action.
But, Your Honor, if he had been in the park already playing basketball, legitimately in the park, had ended up in the same place and had the same thoughts, the police report would read exactly the same.
No, but they wouldn't be the same case.
Well, from Lafayette's perspective, of course there would be, Your Honor. Lafayette,
well, from our perspective, why do we have to treat it as the same case? And, you know, in fact, he goes to I mean, especially when you say it was unrealistic for him actually to commit a sex crime, that has to do with sort of the specific circumstances, time of day, how many people are around. It looks as if he went there with the idea that, you know, they might have an opportunity, but, you know, turned out it wasn't propitious circumstances.
Your Honor, he also said they were just thoughts.
He's not on probation or parole or anything.
No, Your Honor,
but if he were, a court could issue an order like this, couldn't it? We wouldn't be able to challenge that.
This is not a challenge to that. In fact, he was in the community first on house arrest and probation for 10 years, and there was no prohibition on him going into the park or anywhere else.
Mr. Falk, I believe you, in response to an earlier question, said a school would be a different case. Would you acknowledge that that would be a zone where if a ban was in place?
We are not challenging that ban, Your Honor. Generally, the public does not have the right
to. I understand. Then what if this or the other municipality made a judgment call on another venue, a park in this case, where through just a census taken over a month's period of time, the determination was made that it's a 60% attendance by minors? Would that kind of basis bring it closer to the school situation?
No, Your Honor, because we would still be dealing with the idea that you can ban someone for thinking bad thoughts near children. And the Supreme Court made it quite clear in Free Speech Coalition that the mere tendency of speech to encourage unlawful acts is not going to prohibit it. And here we have undisputed testimony that Mr. Doe will have these thoughts the rest of his life. And unless we're going to lock him up or leave him in his house with the blinds drawn, because even in the house, looking out the window, he could be proximate to children and have these thoughts, then we have to recognize that there is a wide gap between...
Well, if the law allows the registration...
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
If the law allows the registration, which it does, what is the policy behind the registration?
The policy behind the registration, according to the state of Indiana, is to give basic information to the public about persons' past crimes, and the state, and I litigated this issue with the state, so I know the state is quite clear we are not predicting that these people are more likely than not to recidivate, but we think that this is public information that people should know about. Here there's no public information. Here we are exposing the privacy of Mr. Doe's thoughts. And if we did not know what he was thinking, if he had done the exact same actions and stood there and left, as all of us have probably done in parks, stood there and left, there would have been...
What if he had to register when he went to the park? Would that be permissible?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
What if he had to register when he went to the park? Would that be permissible? As an amendment to the existing law of registration, that it would speak to when you enter certain venues, you have to register. Would that kind of legislation be acceptable?
I think it would be extremely problematic if it was just limited to Mr. Doe.
No. I mean, if you in the registration category, then as a follow-on, that you also in specific venues have to sort of announce your presence by a registration, or perhaps accompanied by a second person. I don't have it thought out completely.
Well, the Supreme Court, in the recent Connecticut versus Doe case, did not delve into the substantive due process aspects of that. That obviously would be subject to attack on that, and I frankly don't know what the result would be. It would seem to be a bit of an onerous burden, but it highlights the fact that what Lafayette is doing is extraordinary. Lafayette is telling Mr. Doe, look, we found out what you were thinking, and because of that, you were...
Well, what if he told his psychiatrist, I'm going to go to the park and try to have sex with a child there? Would that change your case?
Yes, sir.
How so?
Well, I think...
Still just thoughts.
Well, no, Your Honor. I think...
Not an attempt.
That's correct. But if you have thought or word that is announcing that it's going to produce an imminent lawless action, we're back to Brandenburg. But this isn't Brandenburg. This isn't any action at all. This is a man who, for his whole life, will have these thoughts periodically emerge. He can't control his thoughts. He can control his deeds.
He can also avoid going to the park, or maybe he can't.
Well, yes, Your Honor, but the point is that when he got to the park, he didn't do anything but think.
Let me ask you this. Judge Posner raised this hypothetical, what if he made such a statement to the psychiatrist that that's what he was going to do? Psychiatrists would be under a duty to report that. And here, the psychiatrist made no effort to report it.
No, the opposite is true. The psychiatrist said, look, you did the right thing. Just like an alcoholic, you were going to be tested.
No, wait a minute. Wait, that's one of the goofiest things in this case. You think AA tells alcoholics, best thing for you to do, go to a bar and order a glass of water. And that's good therapy.
No, I think, however, that AA recognizes that for the rest of their
life. Well, wait a second. What's the difference between that case and this case? As far as the therapy is concerned.
The therapy, what the therapist suggested was that he reintegrate himself into an adult life as much as possible. One of those
right. goes to the bar, has a glass of water.
He never offended in the parks, Your Honor. He went back to the park because that.
No,
is
I'm just
of
talking about life. The. I'm just talking about this curious therapy that you're.
But I thought the point was that is that the AA person goes to the bar with the urge and then leaves 30 minutes later and calls the therapist. Isn't that the analogy? And the therapist would then say, you did the right thing to leave.
Yes, this wasn't emergency.
You sat there and you thought.
That's correct. It's a recognition that these thoughts will happen his whole life, and the question is
I thought the therapist thought it was good for him to go to the park and confront his thoughts or what have you.
The therapist suggested it would be good to reintegrate part in his adult life things he used to do. One of them was he was active in athletics. That was the point. Not to expose himself to his urges, because he didn't know the urges were going to arise. They can arise anywhere.
What if the city is not indefinite?
Excuse me?
But what if there's a different temporal quality here? It wasn't indefinite. It was a 6-month ban. Would that make a difference?
No, because what will happen in 6 months? He can't come back and say to the park, look, I'm not going to have these urges again. All he can say is, and I'm in control of my urges, and if I have these urges, I will remove myself, which is exactly what he did. And that is why this whole case focuses on an attempt to punish because of his thoughts.
What if, hypothetically, the city had this information and declined to act on it, adopted an official policy under Monell that it would not interfere with his going into parks, and then he did molest a child, abuse a child in the park, would the city be exposed to liability in a 1983 case?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor.
Why not?
Again, because the city would be recognizing that the fact that people think bad thoughts is not sufficient to ban them. And what if we went on a beach on a sunny day and thought about what everyone there was thinking about everyone else in bathing suits? I mean, we can't get to that point where we are going to be removing people from public places because of their thoughts, unless there is action, and here there was.
Well, certainly the city had an alternative. Anything that the city can do to keep him out of the park, in your opinion?
Not based on his thoughts, Your Honor, no.
Well, everyone, he'd have to have the thought about going into the park before he walked into it.
That's correct, Your Honor, but he cannot be banned because of what he thinks when he stands in the park. If he commits an action, if anyone commits an action, the city
is he's beginning to do the act when he thinks about it and then walks into the park.
But
if we're just focusing on thought, I don't think that's the idea.
If he's playing basketball, he's in the park, and he starts thinking his thoughts and does the exact same thing, the city's going to ban him because he is in the park, he doesn't do anything, but he has urges, and you cannot ban someone for that.
Certainly the city had an alternative in that the city could have warned him when they found out about this. I mean, there were other steps the city could have taken short of an all-out ban for life.
That's correct. But the city is asserting the right to ban him because of what is in his mind. And that
in courts ban?
In courts, well, perhaps as a condition of probation.
From entering? No. How about a restraining order from a divorce where there's been violence? You cannot have contact with this woman again.
Of course, where there's been violence. But
well, there has been 3 crimes here before.
Well, there's not been any crime in the park, Your Honor. And
not
there,
one.
There's not been any
park.
Action for a decade in.
Well, then say that you cannot have any contact with children unless they're related to you, and then there has to be some adult there.
Well, that could be imposed perhaps if he does something, but here he did nothing but go into the park. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fall. Mr. Woodward.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Mr. Doe was not banned from the Lafayette City Parks because of what he thought. He was banned because of what he did.
Isn't this case all about how much he has to do? I mean, it's occurring to me that maybe in the beach hypothetical or even the parks, maybe the city should ban all men from parks because men tend to look at women with lascivious thoughts in their mind, and they might attack the woman then and do something that she doesn't want. It strikes me the same line of logic is going on here, and the question surely has to be a line-drawing question about the conduct. A, walking in, B, sitting down on the bench, C, taking a photograph, D, walking up to the child, E, actually touching the child. Why is your line the right line when he doesn't do anything?
We disagree, Your Honor, that he didn't do anything.
Well, but he sits. Okay, so he sits. I'll grant you that sitting is an action of some sort.
If we're talking in the hypothetical...
I'm talking about what he sat down on the bench, and then he gets up and he leaves.
Your Honor, he actually did not sit down.
Or stands, whatever. He's in the park.
Yes,
but
he's
he
in
doesn't...
the park, and before he got to the park, he's cruising around looking for children. So when he decides to walk into Murdoch Park, he has already decided he's got these urges.
So why didn't you ban him from driving? Because he can cruise around and look for children with bad thoughts.
Well, Your Honor, city parks are a very important part of many cities, in particular Lafayette. We have a dozen parks or so. We develop these parks and invite children to come, invite parents to send their children alone, in small groups, whatever, to play freely and safely. When Mr. Doe goes into this park and he walks in, he sees these kids, he's having an emotional, a powerful high, according to his therapist. His therapist says he told her that he actually started to follow those kids. That's on page 11 of her deposition, Moisen Thomas' deposition. He feels like a predator stalking in this park that night. Finally, he decides to leave, but why did he leave? It's on page 29 of his deposition. There were five kids, it was a wide open area, and it was pretty unrealistic for me to try to molest them.
George, I would like to follow up on Judge Wood's question. If Mr. Doe drove around with thoughts of identifying a child, but took no other action toward that, would the city restrict his driving?
Restrict his driving from driving around the city? Well, certainly that's not the case we face here, but we rather doubt.
But much the same argument could be made, though, since the city, I'm sure, has facilities for the children to walk from their homes to the parks, for example, or to their friend's house to play. I'm sure Lafayette wants to be a family-friendly city, and sure it is. So why not?
Why not? Because parks are a little different from the sidewalks and the street and the shopping malls and the libraries where there's always adult supervision, or the city hall, or wherever it is.
I disagree about libraries. There are terrible cases of abuse in public libraries. No one is in every corner of the library at every moment, and there are people who expose themselves in libraries. There are people who engage in all sorts of completely antisocial behaviors in libraries.
The city thinks that its parks are a special place because that's where children gather to play, and Mr. Doe, in particular, his therapist told us that his triggers for acting out this aberrant sexual behavior are children laughing in small groups, playing, getting excited, sometimes alone and isolated.
If a recovering drug addict, went to a park that was known for illicit drug dealing with an intent to buy drugs, but he refrained from making the purchase, could he be banned from that park after revealing his thoughts to his therapist?
Perhaps. I think it depends, again, on a case-by-case basis. But again, Judge, you referred to his thoughts. What Mr. Doe revealed to his therapist here was not his thoughts. He didn't go to his therapist saying, oh, I had such bad thoughts. He went to his therapist saying, I had this conduct. This is what I did. I almost went over the brink and molested again. I followed these kids. I felt like a predator stalking. And that's where we think the difference is.
Well, what about, you talk about recidivism and the same thing with bank robbers. We know that often bank robbers are repeat offenders. And what if a bank robber had a thought standing outside the bank that they wanted to rob the bank? Would this ban apply, or could it apply?
We're not talking here about bank robbers, Your Honor.
I know we're not talking about bank robbers, but we have to talk about the logic of this. It just doesn't stop with this case. I mean, if we hold in the way you would suggest, it could expand into other arenas, because there are lots of crimes and lots of repeat offenders in this society and lots of heinous crimes. And if people can stand outside of, as the suggestion that Judge Rovner made, a drug addict standing outside of a place that's a known drug hangout and can be banned, I mean, there are implications in terms of the position you would like this court to take.
The bank robber standing outside the bank thinking about robbing a bank is one thing.
But why is the public policy so trivial about robbing banks? I mean, I think your underlying point is we have a special duty to protect children. Of course, we do, but we also, you know, if it's somebody standing outside the Great Lakes Naval Station who's thinking that they really disagree with the war in Iraq, and boy, you know, I'd like to lob a smoke bomb at this thing, you know, there are all kinds of strong public policies that we have that are equally strong, I would suggest, to the duty to protect children. You ban that person, too?
Pardon?
You ban that person who shrugs his shoulders and walks off again?
Well, again, Your Honor, it gets back to whether it's thoughts or whether it's conduct. In this case, we contend it was more than thoughts. It was conduct. It was, at minimum, non-expressive activity.
This individual doesn't have the same ability to control his urges as the political demonstrator or the bank robber. Is that your point?
Your Honor, and
as far as the drug addict is concerned, his danger is more to himself than it is to others. What you're worried about is the fact that the individual here can harm others.
Absolutely, and it's sort of the same thing as the drunk at the football game. If you have a drunk at a football game, he can harm himself. He may be a little obnoxious to someone, but he's not going to be molesting children if he goes over the brink and starts
thinking. Is the ban overbroad in the sense that it extends to all park property and it's not limited to venues where children are most likely to be present or might be most vulnerable?
We don't think so, Your Honor. There are roughly a dozen park properties in Lafayette. Children can go to any of them. There are wide open spaces. There are nooks and crannies, wooded areas in these parks, and kids can go to any of them. We think that the children can be anywhere, and so they need to be protected.
Well, but you've got to do a little better than the children can be anywhere. Seems to me your challenge here is that you are entitled to exercise legislation for the public policy of protecting children. Does this record indicate of the 12 parks that there's a higher incidence of minor population attendance than others? Because we're going to go on forever trying to, I mean, kids are everywhere. They're at the carnivals. But I suspect you'd argue, well, they've got generally adult supervision. Do we have a record here about the attendance of children unattended by supervision? And I mean, do we have anything to give us a handle to support the sweep of this ban?
There is nothing in the record, Your Honor, to suggest which kids or how many kids go to which parks, what percentage.
Well, if you have a park that is next to a school, which is a protected zone, then this might easily be a park that one could reasonably say is so close to the concentration of children, and there's a concentration in the park. Perhaps there's one park that isn't so intensely populated by children that could be exempted. It seems to me the issue is how to tailor, for me anyway, the policy you're trying to implement. And maybe you've got on the boards a new park, a 13th park in Lafayette. And are we to presume the ban ought to automatically apply because that park's for sure going to attract children? I guess my concern is, what have you got to show us that each of these parks all the time have this high incidence of children?
We have testimony of the park superintendent, who did talk about children being in the parks all the time. In fact, the two parks that Mr. Doe went to that night, Columbian Park and Murdoch Park, are right next to schools. We're also concerned if we try to piecemeal a ban on Mr. Doe, park by park, area by area, that it becomes unenforceable. It's awfully difficult to enforce Mr. Doe allowed to go to this section of a park but not over here, or to this little park in this neighborhood but not over here in this park, because there are more kids, 60% kids over here and only 40% over here.
Yeah, but isn't that the challenge? Otherwise, the logic would say he really ought not to be living on a block where there's a great number of children, as opposed to in a residential setting where there are few children. I mean, we've got to, it seems, to have some principled approach to the structure of the ban. That's all I'm suggesting. Maybe this record has it.
We're not suggesting that the city could ban him from living in any particular place.
Why aren't
you?
Well,
what about the exclusion from a golf course, for instance? Why? So you can't play golf at the only public golf course.
The golf course is certainly a part of the Lafayette Parks Department. There are children. They have children's golf leagues, the youth golf leagues
at the golf course.
And there are kids all the time down at the golf courses. And so we think, again, that is part of the
Has there ever been a case of a child molested while playing golf that you know?
Have I heard of that?
Yeah.
I guess I have not.
I play a lot of golf. I've never heard of anything like that.
But I want to get back to the fact that it's just Mr. Doe, because it seems to me that the things you're relying on are actually things that both the expert psychiatrist or psychologist here testified to, and things that are pretty common in the literature, namely that people with this record of sex offenses, in fact, have a lifelong problem. They do have urges that will need to be controlled, and with a combination of medication and therapy can be controlled, but it's a lifelong problem. So why single out Mr. Doe? Why not, once somebody has committed such offenses, basically say, you know, you're done with the park. You know, you happen to catch Mr. Doe through whatever odd sequence of events may have happened, but my guess is the other 99 people probably have the same thoughts floating through their heads, but you haven't banned them because you didn't find out about their thoughts. They might go and stand, they might take a few steps, they might take pictures, but until you know, the children are exposed to those people. You just found out about Mr. Doe's thoughts.
We found out about Mr. Doe's conduct, Your Honor.
The motivation behind his conduct is what you found out about. I agree that you found out about that he did step A, step B, but if you had found out that he did that because he was out for some exercise, you wouldn't be supporting him. If you did that because you found out the purpose was these sexual urges, you do ban him. There's nothing inherent in any of his conduct that suggests the need to ban. It's what's going on in his head that distinguishes it from out for some, you know, a little drive and some night air.
We disagree, Your Honor. If you look at exactly what he said he did, and his therapist was told by Mr. Doe that he did, it is conduct. And the mere fact that
I didn't say it wasn't conduct. I just said there's the same conduct, and unless you have the window into his head, the same conduct is either okay or not okay, according to you.
In other words, absent his thoughts that he articulated at that session, you would not have issued the ban. Because if he just showed up at the park, you didn't know anything about what he said during that session, the ban would not have been issued. I think that's the point Judge Wood was trying to get to. Isn't that true?
Well, Your Honor, I think what we'd suggest is that the mere fact that he goes and tells someone about what he did and what he was thinking about does not automatically transform his conduct into thought. The conduct is there. It's what he did that night
But, for instance, does the city examine the background of other registered sex offenders to see which of these offenders committed crimes in parks?
No, the city has not. We acted because of the report of this individual and his conduct that night in January 2000 in the park.
But doesn't that tend to support the notion that Mr. Doe is being punished simply?
We don't think so. We punished him because of what he did that night in the park. Now, perhaps the question is, are sexual urges thoughts, or is there some sort of conduct or non-expressive activity involved in that? He did say he was energized. That sounds like a physical reaction.
No, there was nothing in the evidence that there was a physical manifestation, which we normally think of when you were dealing with sex offenders. Energized is different than a physical manifestation. I just want to make sure the record is clear on that. The question I want to ask, you agree that Doe's speech in that therapy session was protected expression under the First Amendment. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
His
speech at the group therapy session when he admitted what happened.
Well, Your Honor, I'm not sure that his speech there at the group therapy session would be entitled to First Amendment protection.
Well,
I don't know that it gets into the marketplace of ideas.
Well, I wanted to get to is doesn't the state have a compelling interest in creating an environment where sex offenders can seek therapy and speak without fear or recourse for their views in the therapy? I know this is going off in a little bit different direction, but you're talking about compelling state interests and how important it is to protect the children. Isn't there also an interest to protect the children by encouraging sex offenders like Mr. Doe to seek therapy when he was not under a court order, he was not on parole? And so, I mean, this sort of sets up a situation where you discourage sex offenders from even attending therapy sessions and expressing what's happening to them.
Certainly the state has an interest in seeing that sex offenders continue on their path of therapy.
But why should they if they know they'll be banned from normal access to the community? I mean, surely a good therapist at this point will say, don't go to the therapy session because, you know, unless you want to give up your right to move freely around the community, because they'll ban you for what you say.
If Mr. Doe had gone to his therapy group or his therapist and simply said, I had thoughts, but didn't describe that would be a different story. We might not be here, but the fact is...
But the therapist would tell you that that would be a very unsatisfactory session. It's just like the lawyer-client relationship. There needs to be a full disclosure.
Agreed. There needs to be a full disclosure. But, Your Honor, the point is his conduct that evening was what the information that came to the city. In fact, the letter the park superintendent sent to Mr. Doe said, due to reports of your improper behavior toward juveniles in the city park.
Mr. Rudy, do you think the city would have liability if it took no action, given the information they had?
I think the city certainly has some potential for liability if the city took no action, and Judge Sharp, in his opinion, cited the City of Oakland City case for that proposition and has a good discussion of the potential for cities to be liable.
Is there a difference with regard to the duty that the city owes, the park department owes, than just an average citizen?
That the parks department itself?
Yes, owes to the public at large?
We think that because the city parks department actually invites people in, invites parents to send their children to play safely, that the city has some considerable duty to see that they can play safely.
So this is not governed by DeShaney, I take it. This is an area where government has an affirmative duty to protect all citizens, including children.
Given what the city parks in Lafayette do, we think so.
Wow, okay.
The city suggests, Your Honor, that its response to Mr. Doe's conduct was reasonable and rational. We ask that it be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Swithin.
Your Honors, what do we do about Mr. Doe? For the rest of his life, he's going to have these urges. They are under control now. The police report...
Well, that does, I don't think the facts show they're under control. The testimony, his testimony, or his statement was, he quit, the opportunity didn't present itself because of the circumstances surrounding it.
He also said he knew the thought...
Well, I know that it was a compound statement, but he did say that. I couldn't do it because of what was in existence at the time.
But he also said the thoughts were just thoughts, and he left the park without...
Wouldn't it be better for him if he were banned from the park?
No, Your Honor. The problem is that...
But he could easily be overcome by these urges if he went there and there's just one child and it's twilight or something.
Under that logic, he could be banned from the...
No, I'm just asking what's in his interest.
His interest is being able to have a normal as life...
Well, he can't. He's an abnormal person. He can't have a normal life.
Well, he's doing his best, Your Honor. He's in therapy. He's in control of his urges. He has not reoffended.
You think...
The record shows he is not reoffending.
Well, how could the record show? No one knows what he's been doing for the last 12 years.
Well, Your Honor, he's been in constant therapy. He talks
constant therapy, 24 hours a day. He's being observed.
No, Your Honor, but he talks to his therapist, and Judge Sharp found he has not offended since 1991. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boss. Our thanks to both counsel and the case taken under advisement.